I want to thank you so much, Pastor and Church, for allowing my wife and I to be here. I don't know if we've done anything to help you, but you sure have been a help to us. And I'd like to encourage everyone to please, when you get the prayer cards from off of the display tables, put those somewhere where you can be reminded of these missionaries. You know, keep them in your Bible. Maybe like at our house, we have a board in my office, and every missionary card, we put them on there, and sometimes we put them in stacks, and I designate certain days, and I try to pray for certain missionaries. Because if you ask a missionary what they would need more than anything else, they're going to say, I need for you to pray for me. And when you're riding down the road, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God puts a missionary on your heart. I'm learning this. You need to stop and pray for that missionary right then. If God puts your pastor on your heart all of a sudden, then you need to pull off the side of the road and you need to stop and you need to pray for your pastor. If all of a sudden, if you start thinking about the South and the Mainers come to your mind, how about stopping and praying for the Mainers? Amen. Take those missionary cards and then maybe once in a while just maybe slip a little letter to them. Slip a little card to them. You know, most missionaries now, like all of us, technology allows all of us to have email, and they have email addresses, and they have websites, and Facebook. Boy, that's becoming so international now. And all of a sudden, maybe you just don't know what that missionary might be going through, and all of a sudden you just all of a sudden send an email to a missionary and just to let them know that there is somebody here in the state of New York right outside of the Garden of Eden, amen, and you have taken your time that day to pray for that person across the world. You might be surprised how that might keep that missionary on that field. Missionaries, do you ever get discouraged? Missionary wives, do you ever get discouraged? Missionary kids, do you ever get discouraged and you've left friends and you left mama and papa and you've done things, but you're there serving God and God's using you, and you young people are my heroes tonight that are on the mission field. We can't let them be left out either. And so there's so much. Just my heart tonight is, my heart is so full. Thank you for letting us be here. Thank you, preacher. Thank you for every meal. Thank you for every missions meal. Thank you for every meal provided by families. Thank you for the international supper the other night. Thank you for the charity house and the activities during the day. Thank you so very much. And the question's being asked, well, what is your immediate need? Okay, I'm going to share this with you. Please pray for the Mainers. Our schedule is full, and that's the what we've prayed for. I'm not a youngster anymore. I'm 53 years old, and when I ask you to pray for me, I want you to pray that God will continue to give my wife and I the physical stamina and endurance to do the work that God has called us to do. Pray for us next month. We will go to Spain, and we're going to be helping a missionary, John Beck, in a couples retreat, and we're excited about that. Then next year, for 3 weeks, we're going to the South Cape Town, South Africa area to fill in for a missionary. That's part of our ministry. We like to go to the field and relieve the missionary for a while so they can go home and get some refreshment themselves, report to their churches. And we go there not to take over the church, not to change the church, not to turn the church's heart away from the pastor of the church, the missionary of that church, but we go there to keep things going while that missionary is away. And I don't know if you missionaries have ever experienced this, but I understand that there's a lot of times when a missionary leaves the field and comes home for a while, when they come back, they basically have to start all over again because whoever's been there could not be trusted. And so pray for us. I think most of you have got a prayer card from us this week, and we appreciate you praying for us. Acts chapter 20 for a few minutes again tonight, verse number 35. And I want to end the message tonight on it's more blessed to give than to receive. I just can't express enough gratitude. Appreciate the quality of worship each night. Appreciate the quality of the music. Boy, that's becoming something less and less. And I appreciate the good atmosphere here. Last night's service, we just began to give an introduction about many of these thoughts about giving. And first of all, last night in the service, we talked about the motive of our giving. Everything needs to be done with the right motivation. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 says, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We saw last night in the motive to give, our greatest motive is we give because we love the Lord. Number two, we give because we love the Lord's church. We give to missions and we support the church through our tithes because we love the lost sinner. And also, we give because we lean upon God's promises. And for those of you that were not here last night, I want to emphasize again that we're not this part of this health and wealth crowd trying to reap some type of empire, something like that, like we see on television from time to time. That's as false as a $3 bill. It's wrong. But God does promise that he will bless us in our faithfulness to give unto him. Last night we saw that there are blessings coming down from Malachi 3:10. There's blessings that come out. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. And there's blessings that come from without. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And the right motive in our giving is the same motive that the widow had. When she gave that mite, she gave all that she had. May the Lord help us tonight. I was even reading references today, Exodus chapter 25, verse 2. Speaking of the children of Israel. Now, this is good application in our giving because they gave to build the tabernacle in the wilderness. Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man. Watch this now. That giveth it willingly with his heart. So you say, well, giving tonight's what comes out of my pocket, but it does not. It's what comes out of our heart. And how big is our heart? There used to be a fellow that I pastored, and Darrell Beatty. Boy, you talk about a bus worker now. I'm telling you, Darrell Beatty, all day on Saturday, and he'd get on that bus with me on Sunday, and that driver, when I was an assistant pastor of a church, And we'd get the kids on the bus and drive it going down the road. And I'd always let Darrell Beatty give a devotion on the bus. And there was never a message that he would not make this praise, how big is your God? Well, when it comes to giving, how big is your God and believing God as we give to him our heart? The motive of our giving. And then tonight, ladies and gentlemen, number two, and I'm going to be brief tonight. I've been praying a lot today that God will just work tonight when the cards come in. Not for me, but for the world, for souls, for eternity. For the sake of these mouthpieces, these servants of the Lord, these people that are our heroes, that are going to their field that God has given them a heart for, a broken heart for, so they can go there and do the work of God that God has called them to do. And it ought to excite us that we can have a part in that. So the method of our giving tonight, we see that we are to always administer first fruits given. Don't give God leftovers. God didn't never give a leftover to us. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse 9 and 10 again. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. First fruits of all our increase. First fruit giving. Giving God the best. Let's give Him our best treasures. Let's give Him our best time. Let's give Him our best talents. My papa was the one that taught me how to play the trumpet. And papa sit down with me, and he not only taught me the hymns out of the hymn book, but he would sit down and he would teach me the words of the song, the history behind the song. And I can still see papa with his finger saying this: if you don't use your talent for God, God might take it away. So let's give Him our best talents. First fruits giving. And then there is faithful giving. We read it last night, but tonight in a different light. 1 Corinthians 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, which is Sunday. In other words, when you get paid, God gets paid. Let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. This is talking about tithing and giving offerings. A tithe is what we owe God. An offering is what we offer God. Now, wouldn't it be amazing if we gave God our tenth, then God multiplied it by ten? You know, for that person that puts that dollar in the offering plate and sings the song, God be with you till we meet again. Well, three of you got that one. God help us tonight to be faithful in our giving. In other words, when God blesses us, and in turn, then we give unto the Lord our tithes and our offerings. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. In other words, if everyone would tithe that makes up the local church, every need would be met. Faithful giving. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, for time's sake tonight, it talks about the people that give, the place they're supposed to give, the pattern of their giving, and then the provisions of their giving. First fruits giving is special giving. Faithful giving is systematic giving. God is a God of order. God is a God of structure. And we should be structured in our giving. Boy, it gets mighty quiet when a preacher starts talking about preaching. Or starts preaching about giving. Preacher, you can hit me in the heart all you can, but don't hit me in the pocketbook now. You might have heard the story about a new pastor at a church. I'll give this little pun and move on. And I heard this to be a true story, that he went to his church and he was exciting the people. And he said, boy, ladies and gentlemen, now we've crawled all this time. How many of you would like to begin to walk, say amen, and everybody said amen, amen. All right, now if we're going to walk as a church and get out of this crawling stage, then we're going to have to pray. Pray, let's pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. They started responding to the preacher. And then the preacher said, now, after we've crawled and walked for so long, now there'll be a time that God will want us to run. And everybody said, boy, Lord, teach us how to run. Teach us how to run. And the preacher said, well, if we're going to run for God, we're going to learn how it is to give. And they all responded by saying, let her crawl, let her crawl. First fruits giving, faithful giving. And then there's faith given. Now remember Monday night we talked about faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, promise given. Remember biblically what it is? It's the through me that the world may see. It's God's hand of bounty coming through us. Now the tithe goes to the church. The faith promise goes through the church. Amen. So that missionaries can share the gospel so that the world can see the truth about salvation and have a home in heaven one day by the good grace of God. Faith promise giving. Now this question has come to me before, and we're going to take our Bibles tonight and prove that it's biblical to help missionaries. Oh, now, Brother Maynard, and I've had this happen. Now, I agree with everything that you have to preach, but now this missionary business, they're just a bunch of charlatans. And yes, there's some preachers that are charlatans too. And there's some lawyers that are charlatans. There's some athletes that are charlatans. Now, why focus on the wrong? Why don't we focus on the ones that's doing right? Is it biblical for churches to help missions? Is it biblical for churches to even help missions when they're going through a tough economy themselves? Well, 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Paul said to the church at Corinth, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." You're turning. I like the sound of pages. I just have an online Bible program, and I've got it all typed out right here. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." In other words, they were suffering, but they still helped the Apostle Paul, and God blessed them for it. You say, well, if the economy gets better, I'll give to missions. If you got to wait till things get better, it's not faith. If it's in your hand, it's not faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's the reason I want to encourage tonight. And Pastor, I'm not one of these that tries to fill the altar with manipulation. But still tonight, we need to find that secret place. We need to find that place where we can kneel before God and say, "Lord, I know you've been faithful all these years and you've never failed me. God, give me wisdom and confirm it to me. Lord, what thou would have for me to do for missions this year." And it could be when you come off the altar and go sit down, you might say, "Lord, I don't know about that." Well, faith is not knowing. Faith is God knowing. And the Lord cannot do unless we live by faith and surrender and let Him do what He can do. He's faithful. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, here we are again. "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they may go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness." That's the right motive. "But this I say, He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God, now put this in context now, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have an all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. God will take care of obedient people as we try by the grace of God to live and give by faith. The church at Corinth, the church at Philippi, I love this text in Philippians 4. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. There was a time, Paul said, that Philippi did help. There's been a time that they couldn't help, but now their care of him has flourished again. Now, missionaries, including self, we got to keep the right attitude about receiving. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, to be satisfied with what I have, be satisfied with what the Lord has allowed me to have. Be satisfied that needs will be met in his time frame, not mine. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, verse 13, Philippians 4:13 is taken out of context so many times. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, if that means everything right there, that means I can jump out of an airplane and live. No, in the context of the Scripture, it means this. If I know how to abound, I know how to be abased. I know how to be full. I know how to be hungry. I know how to abound. I know how to suffer need. Whether I'm on the mount, whether I'm on the valley, whether I have or whether I have not, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's a great blessing. That's a great Bible promise. Notwithstanding, you've done well, ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. See, we missionaries got to keep the right attitude too, that we realize that when the Lord is meeting our needs, that the Lord also is going to meet the needs of that church. And in the same breath, if there comes a time, and it's an amazing thing, I don't know how it is with the missionaries, but my monthly support's never the same. It never is. And it's an amazing thing. If it's up the first Sunday of the year, 1 year, it'll be up first month of the next year. It just kind of follows a pattern. I don't know how y'all's is. But the thing to understand is this, whether I have or whether I don't, I need to keep the right attitude. Not because I desire a gift. Not that we want to be recipient of the blessing, but also we want to see those churches blessed also. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And here's another verse taken out of context. In context of missions, receiving, and giving, But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. These last two nights, we've learned the facts of giving. We've learned the first fruits of our giving. 1 Corinthians, the faithfulness of our giving. We read tonight about the faith of our giving and also the fruitfulness of our giving. It's all found in the Word of God. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I want to leave you with a simple illustration. How many times God is about our giving. Yes, I'm a Southerner. But you folks up here have gardens too, and you have crops. Am I still speaking in a language you understand? And when I was a little boy, and I live in my home place now, Daddy always planted a garden. I can still remember and have pictures that my mama took working in the garden. Daddy called the man down the street, come bring his tractor up, turn the ground under and everything. Then Daddy'd crank up that 6-horsepower Simplicity tiller, and he'd get out there and get all those clods up, and we'd make a game. My brother and I'd get out there to get the rocks out of it. We had a basket on the side. We'd throw to see which one of us could get more rocks in the basket, make a game out of it. I'm going to move quickly on this. And make the rows and everything. But here's the illustration. We'd make the rows and everything, and boy, we like corn on the cob. How about you? Amen. Boy, got a good amen out of that. Yeah. But here's what Daddy would do. Daddy would give me the sack of the corn kernels to be planted. Daddy would make the row, put the fertilizer in the row, and then with a stick, he would make the holes in the rows. And he'd say, David, always little David, I was the youngest, I was a preemie, I was. He'd say, I want you to put 4 kernels of corn in that hole. 4 kernels. Just go all the way down that row. Go down that next row. Then Daddy would take the hoe, we'd cover it all back up, cut the sprinklers on everything, water the garden. You couldn't go out of the driveway. You couldn't go out of the driveway without seeing that garden. 2-3 weeks later, Daddy'd slow down the car and he'd say, look here, David, look here. Man, coming up, man, look over. 2-3 inches, boy, we got a stalk coming, boy. Them stalks would get tall and begin to silk. You still with me? They'd come, Daddy'd go out there and start breaking off ears. We'd have a shucking. Get all the silk off of it. Wash it in a sink. You know that sink right at the back door of our house? Mom and Daddy made it that way to bring the vegetables and stuff in from the garden and wash them. Then Mama put them ears of corn in a big old pot. I just heard a stomach growl. Did y'all hear that? I'm kidding. We'd all sit down at the table, have that big old pile of corn on the cob. Daddy or Mom would say the blessing. We used to have them little things that you could stick in the end of each end of that ear. She's shaking her head. She knows what I'm talking about. And listen, I know some proper people take a knife and they cut the butter off, and you know, not me, buddy. I'd get that whole thing of butter. I'd roll that bad boy. Yes, sir. And where's my buddy tonight? I'd say, would somebody please pass the salt? There he is. He's come up to me every night and he said, would somebody please pass the salt? He's my friend. And about time I'd get ready to eat it, Daddy'd say, stop! Now, little David, how many kernels did you put in that ground? I said, Daddy, you told me to put 4. He said, well, before you eat that, he said, stand that boy up and let the butter just go off of it and count the kernels in that one ear. I couldn't count that high, friend. I was little. But then Daddy would say this. Son, always remember this in the work of God. You will always reap at least what you sow. But many times God will allow you to reap more than you sow. If that's the Lord, tell him I'll be done in a minute, okay? Now tonight, ladies and gentlemen, our greatest motivation tonight is souls. And we will not ever know until we get to heaven the harvest that our faith promise given has reaped. But I want to lay up some treasures in heaven. Where moth is not corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. I want to lay up treasures in heaven. Souls saved as a result of the places I can't go, but the places they go. Our heads are bowed.